Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Fortcast, the official podcast of Fort Healthcare. I am your host, Dr. Michael Anderson, ear, nose, and throat physician, and current president and CEO of Fort Healthcare. I am happy to announce our guest today is Dr. Molly Larson, one of our wonderful OB-GYN physicians. Welcome, Dr. Larson.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And Dr. Larson, so I've been with the organization about 20 years, and so I always like to have our guests kind of tell us, how long have you been practicing with Fort Healthcare?
I've been with Fort Healthcare about 2.5 years.
Well, it's been wonderful to have you. Our patients really adore you, and you've done an amazing job servicing our community. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you. It's been a really great place to be, great patients, great community.
That's great to hear. So today's topic, I'd like to focus around HPV, human papillomavirus, and the associated risks to women overall with HPV infection. So Dr. Larson, I'd like to talk today about HPV, human papillomavirus, and the risk that HPV has in the realm of women's health and cervical cancer. So for our listeners, could you please explain a little bit about what HPV is and how common it is?
Yeah, HPV, human papillomavirus, it's a type of virus, and there are lots of different types of human papillomavirus. And they cause issues in all parts of the body. So anything from warts to cervix cancer and cancers of other parts of the body as well. It's at least the types of HPV that we deal with in women's health are very, very common. Human papillomavirus, HPV, causes 100% of cervical cancer.
So HPV is a very common virus. It happens both in men and women. Now, and you mentioned that it's the 100% cause of cervical cancer in women. So clearly, there's got to be a screening process for that. You must be checking for that. So can you tell us a little bit about that process, Dr. Larson?
Absolutely. So when someone comes to see us for their health maintenance, routine health maintenance, they have a pap smear. And that pap smear is used to test for HPV. Now, whether or not that patient actually gets tested for HPV initially depends on how old they are. In patients who are under the age of 30, so 21 to 29 who are getting pap smears, those patients aren't automatically screened for HPV. They are screened only for cellular abnormalities or abnormal cells of the cervix. In patients who are 30 and over, those patients are having the cell testing done as well as being screened for HPV.
Okay, so that's wonderful to know. If you see abnormal cells on the pap smear, how do you address the patient at that time and what are your next steps?
That's a great question. So in those patients who are under 30, if they have abnormal cells, depending on the type, then often HPV testing will be performed in addition to that, and that will guide our further treatment. In patients who are older than 30, you know, the abnormal cells plus the HPV kind of lead us in the direction of further testing. And generally, excluding some populations, following up of abnormal cells on a pap smear and positive HPV is going to be a test called a colposcopy. And that's a test where we have you come back to the office and we take a look using a special microscope at the cervix as a whole. And that helps us to see cells that are infected by HPV so that we can take some targeted biopsies of those cells.
So that is actually an office procedure that you do. You look at in the office, no sedation, I'm assuming, or?
No sedation. People tolerate it really, really well. It's like a pap smear, but a little bit more involved.
Okay. So if you look and you do biopsies and the biopsies are negative, I'm assuming you're done?
Yeah, then we just have you come back in a year for further testing. So the way that the cervical cancer screening program is set up, and it's very, very lengthy with several pages of algorithms and all kinds of guidance, it's set up to sort of put people into different risk categories to tell us how closely we need to follow them. So in those patients who come for that colposcopy and the biopsies we take are either sort of low-grade abnormal cells or negative, meaning no abnormal cells, those patients will come back in a year for a repeat pap and HPV testing. If it's a higher grade cells, meaning those cells are looking more abnormal, then they come back again for another procedure that's called a LEAP, or traditionally it was called a conization, meaning we take a larger cone sample of the cervix to further be able to see the abnormal cells, see how much they extend throughout the cervix, and to hopefully have that procedure be curative, meaning remove all those abnormal cells.
So the LEAP procedure, is that also done in the office?
It is, yeah. That's using a little bit of numbing medicine and then done in the office.
And that can be curative?
It can. That's always the goal.
Well, that's good to hear. But it all starts with the human papillomavirus.
Essentially, yes.
Okay. So now the human papillomavirus vaccine, I don't feel like that's been around for very long. About how long has that vaccine been offered? Do you know?
I do. It's been, I would say, on the market for about 15 years or so, maybe a little bit longer.
Okay.
In a few different forms. So when it initially came out, it only covered 4 different types of HPV. The current vaccine that's being offered covers 9 different types of HPV.
Including the subtypes that are most common found in cancer?
That's correct. So 7 of the types that are covered are the 7 most common virus types that cause cervical cancer, and then the 2 most common virus types that cause genital warts.
Gotcha. And I'm familiar because I am a parent. I have 2 boys and a girl. So whenever we go to the doctor's office, vaccinations, including HPV, is part of the conversation. So in your office, Dr. Larson, what ages, when you start to see patients that are young on the younger side, what ages do you start to have that conversation about getting the HPV vaccine?
So any patient that comes to my office will be eligible for HPV vaccine because we recommend starting it as early as age 9. And if you're between 9 and I believe it's 14 or 15, you get 2 doses of the vaccine. If you're older than that, you get 3 doses of the vaccine. So anybody who comes to my office, you know, I ask them at their wellness visit, hey, have you gotten the HPV vaccine? It's available to anyone up to age 45.
Gotcha. You know, that HPV vaccine, it definitely is super important, even in the ENT world, in the realm of head and neck cancers. What a lot of people don't understand is HPV plays a very large role in tonsillar cancer or tongue-based cancer. And so the vaccination helps more than just the OB-GYN world. It definitely helps the ENT world also. And I feel like the awareness of it is, while it's growing, it's still not quite where it needs to be.
I agree. And I think, you know, especially initially when these vaccines came out, there was a lot of talk out there about people sort of being afraid that by doing these vaccines that we were somehow encouraging early sexual debut or something like that. And that's certainly not the case. We just want to get the vaccine in people as early as we possibly can to protect them for their whole life. Because I tell you what, if you ask someone who didn't get the HPV vaccine and then had abnormal paps and had to have all of this workup done and then got the HPV vaccine later in life in their 20s or 30s, they'll tell you they wish they would have gotten it as a teenager.
That is really well said, and that's an excellent point. I think vaccine awareness is very important, and our listeners need to know that an HPV vaccine is protective and it is available for our patients. And I mean, it sounds like your practice, your OB-GYN world does a wonderful job screening, following for cervical cancer. It's such an important thing to monitor, to check for, to make sure women stay as healthy as possible.
It's a huge part of what we do on a week-to-week basis.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's very important. And I think I've seen some studies saying that in Europe, where they've been doing these vaccines a little bit longer, they actually are seeing a decrease in the cervical cancer rate. So these vaccines are really working to help prevent cervical cancer, which to me is just awesome.
Absolutely. Who doesn't want less cancer, right?
No kidding. No kidding.
Well, hey, Dr. Larson, thank you so much for joining me today on the Fortcast. It's been wonderful talking with you today.
Thanks so much for having me, Dr. Anderson.
So if you enjoyed listening to this Fortcast, please share it on your social channels. I want to remind our listeners that we have a full podcast library on our website, the Fort Healthcare website. And thank you for taking the time to listening to this podcast. Take care.